B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today's Saliva frontman Bobby Amaru joins me to talk about numerous topics, including his new project called Misery Down.
I've got to tell you, man, it's definitely, I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that I was able to make that move and do it when I did, because it's something I'm very proud of and I'm excited to share it with people. And
he talked pretty candidly about getting sober and what sobriety's meant to him, highlights of being in Saliva, as well as what's going on with the band right now or in the foreseeable future.
We have a lot of shows still booked. You know, we have the new metal tour and all that, but as of right now, I mean, there's so many other things. You know, a lot of people are out there struggling, man.
With original frontman Josie Scott coming back into the fold in Saliva in 2021, I asked Bobby if he's ever thought about the final show he'll play with Saliva.
I think all good things come to an end, man, you know? And it's like, I would never say never. I think Wayne and I have built a really great relationship to where, you know, we collaborate and we'll work on stuff, you know, I think, no matter what.
And that's just for starters, as vocalist Bobby Amaru joins me today for Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me for the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. They kind of dipping our toe back into a little bit of normalcy with some podcasts. I've done three or four now in the last week or so. If you get a chance, go back and check out the one I did with Sully Erna. David Coverdale was awesome. Michael Polson from Volbeat, fantastic. I actually recorded this interview with Bobby last week, but I was so jammed up, I told him I'd get him on early this week so he could spread the word about Misery Down, talk about his time in Saliva, talk about his sobriety, talk about quarantine and all sorts of other stuff, which we do, and we'll get to it here coming up in just a minute. But first, if you like this podcast, five-star reviews, and, you know, write a review on Apple, iTunes, the whole thing. That always helps to spread the word as well. I've got my I've got some messages out to some of my friends as far as some upcoming interviews are concerned. So we should have another podcast coming up here by the end of the week. And plus, we've been doing this really cool thing on WRIF's Instagram. If you're outside the Metro Detroit area, check out the WRIF Instagram, because we're doing these interviews with Bad Wolves. I just did John Cooper from Skillet, which is awesome. We've got a bunch of them coming up. So if you're out there on the gram, make sure you check us out. In the meantime, I've known Bobby for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or whatever with Saliva. I really got to know these guys when Brad Stewart joined the band, because I've known Brad since his time in Shinedown, then with Fuel, and then on to Saliva. And he's kind of introduced me to all these guys. And Bobby actually talks about his time playing with Saliva coming up here in a little bit, and especially with Wayne Swinney. Wayne is like the greatest guy. I mean, he's so cool. I've really become friends with him over the last year or so. Maybe a couple years, but just a really super nice guy. He's the original guitar player and still in the band and kind of carrying the flag as far as Saliva is concerned into the future here when Josie rejoins the band next year. We talked about that with Josie about a month and a half ago right here on this very podcast. And Bobby's he's spreading out. He's starting to do other things with his band Misery Down, his project, I should say, which we'll get into here coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, let's get at it. It's Bobby Amaru today from Saliva on Talkin' Rock.
Dude, I am in Florida, sitting at my home, looking at the pool. It's like 82 degrees right now.
Dude,
there
you know.
There is not a cloud in the sky.
Oh my God.
I'm rubbing it in.
I know. I came to work saying there was like snow coming down, okay? It's the middle of April and there's snow coming down. So yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate that. But anyways, yeah, so we got a lot of things to discuss here with you. Of course, you got this new project you're working on, Saliva. We got all sorts of things. But first of all, tell us about this this new project. So Misery Down. Now, I've had a chance to listen to the record a couple times, man. I told you about it. I think it's killer. I listened to it in the headphones today like you asked me to, because it's like it does it. The production is fantastic. So first of all, who's in the band? How did it get put together? All that kind of stuff.
Well, it kind of happened really fast, man. I'll try to keep it short. Basically, the end of last year, we toured so much last year, a lot of like 140 shows, I think. And when it was all said and done, I really just didn't want to do music, man. I didn't want to record anything. I didn't want to do I just wanted to sit at home, hang out with my kids and do nothing, you know? And
right.
I think I was just drained. And, you know, I got sober about 18 months ago. And when I got sober, I started seeing a therapist here in town that was recommended, and she helped tremendously, man. And I was a guy that was never into that stuff. Like, oh yeah, if you need therapy, then you're probably just nuts or something, you know? But no, I really do. I have a whole new outlook on that. And I think that, man, the right person can put things in perspective for you. And she helped a lot, man. So, you know, I would see her like once every other month or whatever that may be. And it's been good. And so I just was telling her about, I just don't really want to do music. And, you know, I don't know, I'm just kind of hitting this wall here. And she was like, well, why don't you just try something different? Like, you know, maybe like a new project with a different name and, you know, just think outside the box, think outside of saliva and maybe just try and get back to what made you fall in love with music in the first place and what made you fall in love with writing. And so it was like the light bulb went off. Like, how did I not think of this? So, you know, I thought about it and I was like, you know what? These past few saliva records, there was always a lot of weight on my shoulders to come through and do a lot, you know, even between Wayne and I, everyone lives in different cities, man. So we ended up, you know, Wayne would be like, dude, I trust you. Just let's make a kick-ass record. And when you're ready for me, I'll come down and do guitars and that whole thing. And that's kind of how we would do the saliva record. And then with this project, I went outside the box and I went to Nashville and I wrote with a couple friends of mine. And we just like, we banged it out, man, like 10 songs basically, you know, in a matter of like 4 or 5 days. And I've got to tell you, man, it's definitely, I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that I, you know, was able to make that move and do it when I did, because it's something I'm very proud of and I'm excited to share it with people. And people that have heard it, you know, so far are really liking it. You know, I even sent it over to Wayne, like, hey, what do you think of this? And, you know, he sends me all capital letters, you know, a big novel telling me how great it is and why are we not doing stuff like that? And it's just funny. But, you know, I definitely have a whole new perspective. And it's almost like I was able to reconnect with music again, you know, in the creation process. So I think it was all in all a positive, man, for me.
Now, what's going on with the band? I mean, do you guys have a label? You shopping this around? What's happening?
Well, that's what we were doing, and then all this quarantine stuff happened, so it kind of put everything on hold, you know. And my attorney was like, we're just going to have to pump the brakes for a minute, but you know, the stuff's really good, and you know, I think that we'll find a home for it. We just let's hang tight. You know, so I put up the Comeback Stronger lyric video and I ended up, you know, I just kind of let people know that it does exist and, you know, I'll be moving forward with it eventually. There's no time on that though. You know, I don't really know, at this moment. I think everybody's kind of in the same position in the music industry right now. And, you know, so I'm not going to force it or rush it. It's kind of be patient and, you know, put little teasers and things out here and there. And there's nobody in the band yet. I've got an idea of some people and some guys that I've already talked to that are definitely into it. So, it's just kind of the waiting game, you know, until we're able to, do that, you know?
Yeah. Comeback Stronger is a perfect song to post right now because, I just listened to it today and I thought to myself, this is what's going to happen when this whole thing breaks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's why I wanted to put it out and, you know, I wanted to make sure I wasn't, you know, doing something. I wanted to be positive too, man. That's really how, I try to look at these things, you know. I know there's a lot of negativity out there, and I think people, you know, music is a good release for everybody. It doesn't matter the style or it doesn't matter what it may be, but people do find music to help them through things. And I think it was a great song to release. And you know, it's funny, I have like three other lyric videos that are really awesome, man. That are, I wish I could release all of them right now, but you know, we're kind of just waiting and you know, but I am putting things in motion, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. So I have themes for different lyric videos, and I have a guy that's worked on these other, and they're really, really cool.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. I was going to like kind of take notes in each song and different things like that, but it's like the people that are listening right now haven't heard it, obviously, except for that one song. So I didn't want to go into depth on every song, but the record's killer, man. And it's like the thing that it's funny how I emailed you, or I texted you last week about it. Every song starts out low. And the only reason I even noticed that was because you sent me the files with the waveforms on them, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But well, yeah, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't even know if that's on purpose,
right,
or I think it's just, I don't know. I think it's something that I've always done, no matter what. Like, and with writing, I always think, you know, low, and then, you know, bam. You know,
right. There's kind of a ballad on there. What was the one? Kind of, right?
I would say, maybe High on Me is probably high,
That's it.
One like that, but it's still heavier. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, High on Me, like maybe the lyrical content, perhaps a little bit. I'm not even sure if you're actually talking about another person in that song, are you? Or is it kind of related to drugs?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, it's definitely, like, you know, there's always somebody I think people can relate to. They have their own addictions and their own problems, but they have to, you know, they have to find a way to bring you down, you know, and not really face the realities of the stuff they're going through. And, but that's a song that seems to be the one everyone really, really likes. So I'm, you know, I can't wait to share this stuff with people, man. It's fun. I'm jonesing. So.
And then another thing I noticed about the record too is that, you know, there's some keyboards and some synthesizer in there, and some of the songs actually have like kind of a fall Halloween type feel in certain parts of them.
Oh, there's some industrial elements too. There's metal elements. There's elements all over. Of you know, I didn't want to be. I wanted it sonically to just, you know, be heavy and loud and in your face, but I wanted to add a lot of that stuff, just for melodic, you know, tension and stuff as well. I love that stuff. I love cinematic, theatrical, sounding stuff and music. And I think blending a lot of that with heavy guitars and big drums and all sometimes is, it's really fun and interesting. So, I've had people tell me, yeah, this one sounds kind of industrial, like that UFM song that I don't know if maybe you heard. Yeah. And it's just really fast and, you know, in your face. But I definitely, with this one, I wanted to step out of the box and try some new stuff that I hadn't tried before.
Now with UFM, it's funny you should mention that, because I was listening to that. You know, one of my first thoughts was, you know, you have little kids. I got kids. My kids are older than yours now. But it's like, what is your life like? Being a rock star dad and being a dad to a kid. How do you manage that?
You know, there are dads out there that travel for work. Whether it be, you know, they're in a business or, you know, own companies and have to travel, or, you know, I treat it like that. You know, dad has to travel for work. But I think the most important thing, that I've learned with being with this band 9 years, you know, cause you know, when I got in the band, my daughter was barely 6 months old and my son was only like two at the time, or two and a half. And you learn that the most important thing is being there, no matter what, even when you can, when you are there, is making the time and putting the effort in, to letting them know that you're there and you care and you're there for the important things. You know, I've missed birthdays and things like that. But there are things that, you know, you make up for, you know, soccer games, you know, you're there, you know, daughter's recital. Like me and my daughter, you know, we had a show book in Tampa, and I messed up last February, I think it was. You know, she had a daddy daughter dance, and there, I don't care how much money or where the show is, I'm not going to miss that. So I told I told my agent, I go, I'm not playing that show. I've got my daddy daughter dance here. You're going to have to move the show. And he's like, oh, well, they're probably never going to book us again. I'm like, you're going to tell me that Saliva will not get booked in Tampa because I'm going to go to my daddy daughter dance? I'm not buying it. So, all right, that's a market we've played 100 times. I will, you know, and you know, that's the thing. You have to, because the kids don't care what you do for a living. You know, they care that you're there and you're doing, spending those moments with them, those precious moments that you'll never get back. You know what I mean? Because, you know, look at where we are now. I mean, with the way the world is and stuff. I'm so glad I got to do that with her, because I'd be kicking myself in the ass left and right if I would have chose a show in Tampa over that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I hear so you. You know, I have a daughter too, you know, and it's like after Kobe Bryant died, they had that, what was that, a Girl Dads or something like that. And my daughter,
oh my God,
yeah. Dad. Yeah. I mean, my daughter's like wrapped around my finger. She's almost 19, and now she could care less, and she wants me to get lost all the time. But I always give her the benefit of the doubt, where I may not do that with my son so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to enjoy the moment with her while she's eight and a half, because those days probably are coming. So I have to enjoy them while I can.
Oh, dude, this is what I get all the time. Dad, nobody cares about your Instagram story. Nobody cares. You know, she's like the expert on social media, and I'm supposed to follow her lead. You know, and it's like, it's just so funny. But anyway, so you mentioned 9.5 years with Saliva, and of course, now what is the plan? Because I know I had Josie on, and by the way, I was thinking about this earlier. This has been like so great the way all you guys have reacted to everything. Josie said nothing but nice things about you and praised you. And when I had you and Wayne on the podcast back at the end of 2019, you guys were, you know, hey, look, man, this is how it's going to be. And you're all about it. And you're like, hey, Josie's got to get back in the band and this kind of stuff. But what is your plan? I mean, hopefully if things start to get back to normal here anytime soon for the rest of the year.
I mean, well, we have a lot of shows still booked. You know, we have this new metal tour and all that, but as of right now, I mean, we're not, there's so many other things. You know, a lot of people are out there struggling, man, and hurting and, you know, financially and stuff. So I'm like, if it happens, it happens, you know, with us being able to tour, but I'm not, I'm just grateful for what I've been able to do and, you know, grateful for the stuff that we have done. I would love to get out there and play, and I can't wait to do it, but you know, we're just gonna hang tight. So, I mean, the plan was to tour this year. And then I think that they probably have some stuff between Wayne and Chris and Josie that they'll figure out or work out. And, you know, I think we've kind of heard there's been some people involved, and this is just, you know, me, what I've heard, you know, as talking with Wayne, it's, you know, people involved that he's not comfortable with being involved. And I don't want to speak for him, but I think that he, Chris and Josie probably need to have a conversation without certain people, in their ear, or, you know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, you know, those three, and I would even say, you know, Dave and Paul, like, you know, they are the original, you know, band. And, you know, I don't think anybody outside of that or outside of what Josie, Wayne and Chris are doing should have any sort of influence on what they're trying to do, you know? So, and, Wayne is probably one of the most humble and, super awesome people and guys that I've ever had the chance to meet and play with. And I always tell him how underrated he is. You know, we were just talking the other night and texting about some of these Memphis guitar players that I had no idea ever existed, like this guy, Eric Gales. And he's like, yeah, man, me and his brother were in like a guitar competition in 1981. And I'm like, I wasn't even born. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? But things like that. So, you know, he's just so humble, man. And like, I think that anytime things get weird or there's pressure or whatever, Wayne is not going to deal with that, man. He just will not. And you can't blame a guy for that, dude. He doesn't like drama. He doesn't like, you know, being pressured into situations. So, you know, if they're going to do what they're going to do, then, you know, they're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, Wayne's been, I mean, I've known him for a few years now, and he's just so great. He's just such a nice guy. And did you ever think, you know, of course, when it was announced that Josie was going to be coming back probably next year in 2021, has a thought ever crossed your mind about the last time you played with the guys?
What do you mean, like what the last show would be like?
Yeah.
No, I mean, not really. I mean, you know, I think all good things come to an end, man, you know, and it's like, I would never say never. I think Wayne and I have built a really great relationship to where, you know, we collaborate and we'll work on stuff, you know, I think no matter what. I think that, as far as, you know, where Saliva in that direction will go, you know, it's really up to him, man. You know, on that, you know, I'm definitely, you know, I'm always, you know, working and creating and I'm doing other things too. I'm helping my wife with her business and that whole thing. And, I'm busy. I mean, I'm not, you know, I know when it was announced, a lot of people were kind of like, oh, why would they throw Bobby to the curb like that? And so that was never it. It was never like that. I mean, I knew all along that something like this could happen. But I don't hold grudges. I don't bitch. I don't complain about all that stuff. I think there's too many negative people, you know, that try to put their hands in the pot and take something from you. And they will if you let them, you know. So, you know, I think that I've learned a lot in this business. And I owe it all to Wayne and Paul and Dave, you know, for giving me that chance, you know, to get in and play with a band in front, a band that has, you know, sold millions of records and have a, you know, a legacy, you know, like they have. And so for me, it's all positive, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember if I asked you about this or not, but in the 9.5 years that you were in the band, what are like the highlights that you just will never forget?
Oh man, going to Dubai and playing for the U.S. Air Force Base was so awesome, and getting to stand on like the F-22s and it was like 190 million degrees or something. It was so hot, you know what I mean? And we didn't really pack for that. We were just kind of, here we are like in jeans and black shirts and, you know, but you know, there's no bitching out of us because these guys, you know, these Air Force guys, they're in full blown gear, you know what I mean, in right. that weather. So we did, we just enjoyed every minute of it and did what they did. We woke up at 6 a.m. no matter if we went to bed at 2 or whatever that, you know, happened. That was a great time. Going to Australia was amazing because I know bands that have been around 20 years and beyond who have had success in the States that have still never been to Australia. So that was great to do that. And yeah, there's been a lot of other stuff, you know, that we did. Europe was cool too. And, a lot of big festivals and a lot of big shows that we've done, meeting a lot of people, you know, a lot of bands and, you know, sharing the stage with a lot of bands. And, but I have to, I would say that the one thing that I've learned or the, you know, that I've taken from all of it and the best highlight would probably be getting sober. Because who knows, I may not have gotten sober, man, if, you know, I didn't wake up and realize, you know, there's more to life than this crap I'm doing, you know, and every day. And, you know, I want to be there for my kids and, you know, not be the guy who can't function or, you know, has a has a problem or, you know, chip on his shoulder or whatever that may be. And I think getting sober was the highlight, man, for me.
Yeah, and that you can pinpoint that to one moment where you just woke up. It seems like every rock star I talk to, friends of mine or otherwise, they're like, they tell me about that one moment. You know, I just talked to Greg Upchurch from Three Doors Down last week. He says, I woke up in the bunk one day and I'm like, I'm done. I got to straighten up. And he went to rehab. So what was your one moment?
You're exactly right. That is what happened. I would say it was definitely 2018. And, you know, we'd played a show, you know, I think typically the band guys that get sober, it's the moment on the road, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, and I was just sick of it, man. Like, I think I just woke up and I had just become so numb to it, you know, like it didn't faze me, man. I could drink, you know, so much Crown Royal, you know, it wasn't funny. And I would wake up and your tour manager would say, dude, I am shocked that you're even like up, like, you know, how are you not throwing up? How do you not feel sick? It's because I was drinking every single night for probably 4 years straight, you know, without a break. And the only break that I did was 30 days of saying that I was, you know, I'm not going to drink and I'm going to see what happens. And then I fell back off and fell back into it. But I think it was just, you get tired of the Groundhog Day, stuff, you know, every night, same thing, same routine, you know, you play a show and then you drink until you pass out and then you wake up and same thing all over again, you know? So, and I would say that a lot of that would, go over into home life and family life. And, you know, I love football, man, a lot, you know, and I know we could talk about that all day.
Yeah.
And I would go to football games, you know, and the Jaguars are, you know, terrible. So, you know, you drink more than you should, so, you know, but,
hey, try living in Detroit.
No, you know what? You know, every year is a rebuilding year here. So, you know, and I think that when it starts to affect your home life, you have to make a change, man. And whether it's from the road or, you know, at home, you know, but I would say that I can't really pinpoint a moment. I think it was just, there were moments leading up to that. And, you know, I didn't know if I would last 2 days. I didn't know if I would last 2 weeks not drinking. You know, I was scared because I knew I had, you know, consumed so much alcohol. And, you know, the one time that I stopped for 30 days, that first week was really scary for me because, you know, your body is doing weird things and you're, you know, only people who, you know, drink a lot would know this when you stop. I mean, that's why they have, you know, rehab and they have things for people to try and detox and whatever helps them, you know, but I'm like a cold turkey guy. So I'm just going to quit, you know? And, you know, my doctor's telling me, you probably should like not do that. And you should probably like have a shot here and there so your body doesn't just flip. And I'm like, you know what, dude, if it kills me, it kills me, but I'm not putting that shit in my system. You know, that's kind of how I felt. That's how sick of it I was, you know? And, you know, I would say things like, cause people would ask me, oh man, so you're never going to drink again? Like you're still pretty young. And I'm like, well, I think that at my age is probably the best time to quit drinking. And I don't feel that I want to, I don't have the urge to want to do that, you know, and put myself, cause I know I can't just drink one, you know, I have to have, you know, over half the bottle of Crown by myself or whatever in a night, you know, and, you know, when you're, you know, drinking almost a bottle in two nights by yourself, I mean, that's a lot, man, with my body type.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's better for me to just not do it, you know, because I can't just have one.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned a Crown Royal, cause that's like the one spirit that's given me a hangover twice in the last year and a half. Outside of that, whiskey, rum, vodka, all that stuff, it's like I could drink all that stuff and wake up the next day maybe feel a little bit lethargic, but I can function. But But man, Crown, yeah. I don't know what it is about Crown that I just can't stomach, and I'm done. I kick the Crown to the curb, so I'm finished with that stuff.
Well, that's how I was about like Jack Daniels. I could never do that. And when we went to Europe, you know, you can't find Crown. So you have Jack Daniels. That's it. That's the import there. And I remember like, wow, those were some blurry nights, because Jack Daniels does not do well for me.
Yeah. See, I love Jack. I could drink that, you know, that's like my drink of choice, so to speak. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you about a couple other things here for you. First of all, what are your thoughts about the ancient alien theory?
Is this new?
That's a question Wayne sent me to ask you. It is. Yeah, Wayne sent me that question. He goes, ask about the ancient alien theory.
Oh, I'm not saying they're aliens. They're aliens. Yeah. He loves that show, man. He would literally watch that. He would watch the same episode 20 times in a row if he couldn't get any other DVD or whatever on the bus or any other channel.
So that's a TV show and not just a theory. I didn't even know that, because, you know, as a matter of fact, I think one time on the bus we were watching some sort of random show like that.
If you came up on the bus, Ancient Aliens was probably on if he had the remote in his hand. So yeah, he loves that show, man. Like I think I've stomached an episode or two, but I just never sat down to watch it, you know, and I think, you know, the last few years too on tour have just been so busy for me, you know, because we fired our manager, stealing money from the band, all this crazy stuff. And like, Wayne's like, dude, you got to handle this stuff, man. Like, you don't want me to handle it. So I started basically self-managing the band and just handling all our finances and doing our taxes and, or getting, you know, getting them done and, you know, just doing all that stuff. And it's been great, honestly, man. We have no drama. Everything's just simple business, man. And we go out and we make it fun and we keep it about the music, and there's not someone in your ear trying to tell you what you should do and holding out their hand, you know, for making Facebook flyers for you and wanting to get paid like 20%. It's like, no, dude, we'll get all that stuff done ourselves. And it's been great actually to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So my TV time, other than football season, I don't really get a lot of time for that.
So Wayne also said, he said the side project Misery Down is badass. He says it's 100% Bobby. He goes, the kid is a musical genius for real. So that comes right from Wayne. So,
wow, man, he's so sweet. I might just have to give him a big old kiss.
And then Brad, I text Brad Stewart, your bass player, and I said, hey, give me some questions. He goes, yeah. I got all sorts of good stuff, and then he doesn't send me anything else.
that sounds like Brad, though. Brad just had like a massive like sinkhole in his yard. I think he was trying to manage.
Okay.
He had sent me a picture of like him hanging halfway out of it. I just see his ass hanging out of the ground or whatever it was. But yeah, I'm sure he's got some good questions though.
I always got the feeling when I was around all you guys, especially you, Brad and Wings. I know you guys the best, you know, that you guys really truly got along.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's really when you're on the road with people, you know, whether it's 4 people, 5 people, 10 people, you know, there's always going to be differences, man. You know, everyone's going to be on the same page, but you find things that are important and the things that aren't important. You know what I mean? Are you really going to make arguments about them? Or are you going to, you know, basically, you move on from it, you know, and on
right.
to the next. And I'm not going to say that it's always green, you know. But you know, living in a bus when you're away from your families and stuff, you're gonna have some difficult times. But for the most part, we always get through them and come out, you know. And we realize at the end of the day that we're we are grateful and we're lucky that we get to go and play these stages and play rock and roll and, you know, have fun with people, man, and have fun with each other. And our crew guys, man, we love those guys so much. And, you know, it's such an unfortunate time right now for all the bands and crews and stuff, because, you know, those guys depend on tours to make a living. And, you know, and so do we. I mean, dude, we're not Metallica, man. You know, we don't make that kind of money. And we live basically tour to tour and, you know, and there's a lot of other bands out there, you know, that are, it's hard times, man, but I think we'll see through it, man. And it'll be stronger than ever, you know, once we come back. I mean, it could always be worse. What the hell is Trap doing right now with the internet? You know, Jesus Christ, that guy.
Oh my God. I know, if anyone hasn't followed the Trapped Us saga on Twitter, I've followed it from afar, I guess, a little bit, but man, it's like, they're getting more press now than when they had hit songs 10 or 12 years ago.
I mean, we did a lot of shows with them. They were on tour with, you know, us and Puddle of Mud last year, and, you know, we had the same agent, and, you know, there are three guys in that band that I really, really like and think are super awesome. And there's one guy that is his own worst enemy, man, really, you know, when you think about it, but maybe that's the way he wants it. And, you know, I see him, like, you know, he starts battling these bands or whatever, you know, we have a thread and they'll, you know, certain guys or whatever will send, stuff in the thread and, you know, him with against Ice-T or nice. He's like telling, or he's telling like, you know, All That Remains or some guy that his band's better than them. And then that guy will post a picture of like their crowd and then a picture of Trap's crowd. And it's just like, it just doesn't look good, man.
Yeah, so. No, it's that's hysterical. It has given us some entertainment here in these quarantine weird times. So, well, listen, Bobby, I'll cut you loose here, man. Thanks so much for the time. Misery Down. Hopefully we can hear this stuff, you know, or I guess the public can hear this stuff sooner rather than later. And once this gets up and rolling, you got to touch base back here with me again and let me know what's happening here, maybe next year or something.
Will do, man. It's always good talking to you, dude. And hopefully, you know, draft night, the Lions and the Jags can, can do something.
I'm not holding my breath for the Lions. I've been here almost 25 years, and each year it's like Groundhog Day, like you just said earlier. So,
well, yeah, we've traded literally our whole team away, but let's keep the same GM and the same coach that put us in the position. That makes no sense to me. You know, what do we have, like 27 picks or something like that in this draft? It's crazy.
Hey, listen, so. Growing up in Buffalo, man, I moved here to Detroit right after all those Super Bowl runs. And even though we didn't win, boy, did they have a good team. And it's like every year you could count on them winning a bunch of games. And then here it's like, you know, the season's over in October. So,
yeah, dude, yeah. So, and that's unfortunate because I think Matt Stafford is a great quarterback. I mean, I really do. I would love to have him. I mean, I like Minshew, and I'm waiting to see what happens with the Jags, but I would have taken Stafford over Bortles any day, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know. I just think that he needs the right team around him and he will shine, dude. That goes to coaching and personnel, you know, and who's signing these guys to the team and who's picking these picks. I mean, that's, I would say it goes back to that.
Listen, dude, when all this, like, you know, in case this all doesn't work out for you, maybe you can become a GM at a football team.
Oh God, dude. Yeah, no, you don't want me in charge of that, dude. We'll be bankrupt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Always fun to talk to Bobby from Saliva. Wish him nothing but the best, of course, like we were talking about before, Misery Down. And we'll see if he gets to play any more shows with Saliva as far as that's concerned. I know they actually have a show dates right here in Southeast Michigan coming up near the end of summertime. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens as far as all that is concerned. Hey, like I said before, 5-star ratings, write reviews, the whole thing, Apple, iTunes, that's always great. I do appreciate you guys doing that. And check back, subscribe if you get a chance, because I'm doing interviews constantly. I've got some cool ones coming up, like I said. And, yeah, our Instagram, those Instagram story, you know, interviews have been really cool. So definitely check those out if you get a chance as well. But most importantly, thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Hope it brought a little bit of entertainment to your life for the last half hour or so. And I do appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.